Our scripture reading for this morning will come from Acts chapter 16, beginning with verse 11. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, beginning with verse 11, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. So putting out to sea from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and on the day following, to Neapolis, and from there, to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony, and we were staying in this city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to a riverside, where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. A woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. It happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune-telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, "These men are bondservants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." She continued doing this for many days. But Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out at that very moment. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And when they had brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, "These men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews, and are proclaiming customs which it is not lawful for us to accept or to observe, being Romans." So the crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. I love chapter 16 of the book of Acts. It is so plain and direct. And it is so clear to see who the good guys and the bad guys are. I hope that you're enjoying reading this. And we'll pick up with the slave girl's spirit of divination for this afternoon's lesson, which is entitled Believing Demons. I almost taught that lesson this morning, but I'm saving it for this afternoon, and then next week we'll get into the conversion of the Philippian jailer. Before this morning, what I want to focus upon is Lydia, the seller of purple. The title of my lesson is Riverside Revelation. How often do you go down to the river? We have a beautiful river front here in Buena Vista. And it runs the entire valley. Well, that's why it's called the Arkansas Valley, right? When was the last time you went down? Do you go there on a regular basis, perhaps to walk your dog or just to take a hike? There is a footbridge that crosses it. Lovely place to take pictures. We know the rafters, the kayakers go up and down it. When was the last time you went down to the river to pray? Turn with me to hymn number 699. We'll sing the first and last verses of 699. No, so as I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear a starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down to the river to pray. As I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear a starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sinners, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sinners, let's go down, down in the river to pray. What is it about a river or the banks of the river? We'll talk about that here in just a little bit in light of Jewish history. Paul has been clear in trying to proclaim the gospel in every town, first to the Jews. He says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." But there's a problem in Philippi. There's no synagogue. In fact, as we see the city councilmen make accusations against Paul and Silas, they use the term Jew or the nation of Judaism in a derogatory manner. These men are Jews. And that's because in Philippi, it is composed of Roman soldiers who have retired. In fact, it's very similar to what we would term the villages in Florida. That's what Philippi represents. And so as Paul goes there, he's there for several days before the Sabbath day rolls around. And on the Sabbath, then, he goes down to the riverside, where he supposed that there was a place of prayer. No temple, no synagogue. Why the riverside? Well, this has been the practice of the Jews since Babylonian captivity. If they are away from any official place of worship or study, to go down to the river. In Psalms 137 in verse 1, the psalmist writes, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion." Linda Ronstadt had an a cappella version of Psalms 137. "By the waters of Babylon, where we sat down, and there we wept when we remembered Zion. For the wicked carried us away, captivity required of us a song. How can we sing King Alpha's song in a strange land? So let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, Overi." What did the Jews discover in their captivity? That Jehovah was still close. And so there was a practice during Babylonian captivity to go down to the riverside to pray, and they did that with much grieving, as you can see from that psalm. But then that became the custom when away from any official form or building in which to worship. Go to the riverside. And so Paul knew that that was the custom. He went down, and sure enough, he found there a group of women who were there to pray. And Paul joins them and begins to proclaim to them the gospel. What had Jesus said to his disciples? Is it necessary to have a church building in order for God to be present? Absolutely not. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20, "For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am in their midst." God has never been bound by location or territory or region or state or country or nation, has he? "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." There is a woman there now who is a seller of purple. She is from the city of Thyatira. And if you were to have a map of the region of Macedonia as well as Asia, you would find Thyatira south and a little bit east of Philippi in the country of Asia. And coincidentally, it is in the region, the Roman province of Lydia. So her name is actually the name of the province from which she comes. And in Thyatira, much like what we found in Phoenicia, along the coastline of the western part of the Mediterranean Sea, the eastern part of Palestine, in Thyatira, they have formulated a way to create purple dye in order to make purple cloth. It's thought that Thyatira may have used shellfish, but they are way inland. And they think that probably they used a plant root, the madder root, to make their purple dye. But purple dye was known for royalty, and it was for the rich people. So in all likelihood, Lydia was not a poor woman, may have even had some standing within the community. But she is a worshiper of God. Remember, there's not a Jewish synagogue there, so no great enclave of Jewish citizens. And so she goes down to the riverside to worship. That also means that she is likely not yet a proselyte. It's very similar to the way Cornelius was described in Acts chapter 10. But as Paul finds these women who are seeking to please God, he proclaims to them the message of Christianity. Here's the revelation for them. You can have hope in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we know what he proclaims because Lydia responds to it by being baptized. One sermon on a Sabbath morning outside down by the riverside. And Paul gives to Lydia and her household a message of hope and of encouragement, of salvation. I think a lot of Lydia. I like her. Do you know what her name means? In the Greek, Lydia, translated, means travail, as in agonies of childbirth. Have you ever been called a pain? Oh man, you're a pain. Lydia's name literally means to struggle or to travail. I'm not sure what was in her parents' minds when they named her. I think, like we've already noted, possibly it was because of the region of Rome. The province was Lydia, and so she gets that name. You've heard people called Dakota, haven't you? Named, I know, not necessarily after the state, but her name is Lydia. And yet in her life, she has sought to please God. And certainly here by the riverside, she was ready to listen to what Paul had to say, because Paul knew that those that he found by the river praying would be ones who were seekers of God, and she certainly was. I think Lydia personifies Proverbs chapter 31 of a worthy woman. She's godly, she's faithful, she's industrious, she's hospitable, she's reliable. And as she hears the message of Paul about Jesus Christ, perhaps she thinks of the history of the Jews and of Joshua saying, "Choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua 24, verse 15. She doesn't struggle very long over whether or not to obey the gospel, does she? In fact, her name takes on a different meaning of new birth. She and her household are baptized into Christ. What has Paul just enabled Philippi to have? The seeds of the church. It's already beginning. And then she insists. She turns to Paul and says, "You've got to come stay with me." Now, it's not just Paul. Now, remember, this was a group of women. We don't have any indication that Lydia has a husband. And yet, she opens her home not just to Paul, but to Silas. And who else do we know is along with him? Timothy, and Luke has joined them. Can you imagine? She's just now met these four men, and she's already invited them into her home and insists that they stay with her? How can she make such a strong connection in such a short period of time? It's in the Lord. It's in the Lord. I have written on the marquee, prayers offered down by the riverside. The gospel is still the answer. You say, well, that's true for Lydia. No, that's true for all of us. Whatever your prayers are that you offer up to God, whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're seeking, whatever it is that you want answers for, it's found in the gospel. It's found in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Prayers offered down by the riverside, the gospel is still the answer. Is this why Paul and Silas have been called to Macedonia? Lydia was from Asia, but she left, and so maybe God says, well, just follow her up to Philippi. We have heard the Macedonian call, send the light. Well, there's another thing that's taking place here. I've already mentioned that Philippi is a retirement village for the Roman soldiers, and that's why things are so strict and so sure, as we'll get into next week's lesson. But there's something else about Philippi. It's on a highway, a Roman highway called the Via Ignatia Way, and it stretches across the region of Macedonia, which happens to be a region of Greece. It stretches across the region of Macedonia and makes it to where Rome can conquer foreign lands and move their artillery and soldiers in rapid order. But it makes a very easy pathway to follow. And so what God has done is taken Paul and set him on this Ignatian Way in Philippi, and he's going to travel it west. And he'll go to Thessalonica, he'll go to Berea before finally curving south and going down to Corinth. The Ignatian Way, a highway traveled, greatly traveled, by the populace of that day. And Paul will have various degrees of success as he moves from Philippi to Thessalonica to Berea. But here at Philippi, we find a church, and we'll look more closely at the letter to the Philippians, Lord willing, in next week's lesson. We find a church that seemingly starts out mature and focused. It's not like Corinth. In the letters to the Corinthians and 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Paul is doing an awful lot of correcting. Read again this week the letter to the Philippians and see just how closely they followed what the Lord wanted and how positive Paul can be in the things that he writes to them. They were truth seekers. And the jailer and his family will make up another portion of that initial church membership, as we'll see next week. Why was Lydia so receptive to the gospel? Well, it said because she was a worshiper of God. She had already made up her mind to seek Him. Let me ask you a simple question. Would Paul's preaching here be welcomed? You say, well, sure, that's what we're doing. We're studying Paul's word. Would it be welcome elsewhere in this city? If one were to proclaim the gospel message down on the river Arkansas to a group who had come together to worship God, would it have the effect that it had upon Lydia and her household? I've done a baptism or two in the Arkansas River, and even in the summer, it's still cold. You can't come out of there except to have a chill. It's not convenient, but what Lydia and her household understood, it was necessary to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. That's what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 obeyed the gospel. That's what Peter proclaimed to Cornelius and his household, and they were baptized. That's what Ananias said to Saul of Tarsus, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Why do you tarry? And he was, Saul of Tarsus, was baptized and soon became Paul the Apostle. It's what Paul has been proclaiming and will continue to proclaim. Salvation is found in Jesus' authority. because only through him is forgiveness of sins available, and you make contact with his blood by being born again. Once again, I think, a worthy allusion to Lydia's name, travail. There's another Greek word for travail, odino. And Paul uses that term, and it simply is usually translated as labor rather than travail. Whenever he writes to the Galatians, he says in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again till Christ be formed in you." That's why it's called a rebirth, to be born again, as Jesus prophesied it to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. It's to be taken out of the world of sin, that old man of sin dying, and being raised to walk a new life, a newborn babe in Christ. Why wouldn't that simple message be obeyed by those who are seekers, true seekers? It will be. We put up our defenses because too often Satan has prejudiced us against what God has to say. And we make all kinds of arguments. But literally, the word that is translated baptize in our Bibles comes from the Greek word baptizo, which if it had been translated would appear as immersed. He that believeth and is immersed. That's why in Romans chapter 6 it's described as a burial, beginning with verse 1. A death to the old man and a raising again, or raising up anew, to walk a new life in Christ. Do you know the truth when you see it? There is a societal makeup in Philippi that's very cosmolic. There is the Jew and the Greek, the slave and the free, the male and the female, the oppressor and the oppressed. You say, wait, what's that one? Well, that's where the Jews and the Greeks are underneath the thumb of Rome. Rome stands as the authoritarian, the oppressor and the oppressed. And yet, for whom is the gospel? Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Where is your focus when you hear the words of the Bible? Are you on the defense? Where is your heart? In what do you place your hope? Is striving to please God your goal in this life? Turn with me to hymn number 677. My goal, my heart, my hope should be set on coming to know Jesus. When Lydia heard that message from Paul, she knew she had heard the truth, and the truth would set her free. 677.
Know me, Jesus, let us come to know you. Let us see you face to face. Touch us, hold us, use us, mold us. Only let us live in you. Jesus, draw us ever nearer. Hold us in your loving arms. Wrap us in your gentle presence. When the end comes, bring us home.
How true is the message of the gospel? During the time of the apostles and today, it's still the same message, obeyed in the same way, by simple, active faith. Jesus, let us come to know you. Paul said to the Galatians, I am in travail. I'm struggling to bring you along. It's not an easy path that we have chosen as newborn Christians. We noticed that when we were young. But as we grow in the faith, it becomes resoundingly clear that only in Christ, only in Him, is there hope. A riverside revelation that changed Lydia's heart and household forever. Philippi becomes a partner in Paul's missionary journeys. And as you read the letter to the Philippians this week, you'll see with what love Paul has for them as he writes, but also with what camaraderie the Philippians respond. But keep in mind as you read, not only Lydia, but maybe you can cheat a little bit and read about the jailer, because he's a part of that church too. Keep in mind Lydia and the jailer and their households and how grateful they are that the gospel was proclaimed and they were able to respond. A riverside revelation. Jesus, let us come to know you.